Another edition of KFC Radio brought to you by 5-4 Club. 5-4 is bringing you that summer heat right now. If you are a member of the 5-4 Club, every single month you are getting summer clothes delivered right to your door. You don't have to go to the mall. You don't have to shop. You don't have to worry about picking out your clothes. 5-4 does it all for you. They've been in business for over 15 years, and they're based in L.A. Now, me and Fights were a couple of kooks that were out in L.A. last week. We don't know what we're talking about. 5-4 Club knows exactly the style, exactly the fashion. They know exactly what you're going to like, because when you go to 5-4 Club, you create a style profile, which you put your fashion sense in and you put your sizes in, and so you know every single package you get delivered to you is going to be clothes that you like, that fit you right. Right now, promo code KFC. You get a free pair of 5-4 sunglasses valued at $75, and you get $20 off your first month's package. So that's 5-4club.com, promo code KFC. You get $75 sunglasses and $40 for that first package instead of $60. Also, once you become a member, you can go to the website and you can buy anything you want a la carte, 50% off. So if I get something and Fights didn't get it, wants it, you can buy for half off. That's how 5-4 Club works. Become a member now, 5-4club.com, promo code KFC. Big episode today on the podcast. In the second half of the episode, I sat down with Brendan Schaub from The Fighter and the Kid from MMA fame. Me and Octagon Bob popped in. We did the interview late last week where he was in town for the Bellator. We talked McGregor and Mayweather. We also talked about his comedy career. We talked about transitioning out of MMA into comedy and podcasting. Funny dude, charismatic guy, great backstory. So that interview is in the second half. But as we do usually every episode to start the week here, we recap our weekends, John. I'm going to go first.
Okay.
Because it was an interesting one. I was supposed to go down to the shore. I did go down to the shore. It was wifey's birthday this weekend. So we packed up. We go to the shore. We're staying in her aunt's house. We left Friday and hit an ungodly amount of traffic, which is... You think traffic's bad now. You try to do traffic with a pregnant wife and a kid. You know how you talk about how just one turn of the wheel, you could end it all? Those thoughts were racing through my brain, man.
That's true, because like traffic for me, like I was caught in traffic on Friday, too, going up to Newport. But I'm just sitting in the backseat drinking.
Who cares? Yeah, I was going to say. You're getting fucked up. It doesn't matter. Put on my tunes. We're good to go. No, it's not like that. I mean, it was one of those, like, just getting from the bridge to the turnpike was a fucking disaster. Get to the shore. Do some dinner. We're staying in her aunt's house, and I don't know, maybe like 2 a.m. rolls around. Wife wakes up like, this baby's coming. She's like, I'm feeling contractions. My back's hurting.
Oh, no.
Shay can't sleep. She's like, I think we have to go. And I was so scared. Like, I've been like, I wonder if I'm ready for this kid or not. Well, failed the first test because I'm trying to play it all cool. I was like, all right, like, hey, like, stay calm. This is cool. We're ready for this. Like, we're not far away. It's the middle of the night. We can drive home. Won't be traffic or anything. I grab all our shit. I go outside to pack it up. And I was like, and I just, like, threw up a little bit outside the car.
No.
Just, not like a lot, but just like a little, like, and just spit it up. Go back in there. Like, all cool. Like, we got this, boo. We're good. Don't worry about it. And so we drive
home.
You
fucking puked?
Yeah.
I've never puked for any reason other than, like, I smelled something nauseating. Not like I've never puked from nerves.
Yeah, oh no.
You puked from nerves.
I don't think I really have either. This was like, it was like adrenaline and like nerves and scared.
No way.
It wasn't like a full puke, but you know, if you ever, yeah, I mean, you definitely know when you just heave a little too much.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, there's something in there.
Right, oh yeah.
So that happened. So I drove like 5 hours to get there, stayed like 4 hours, drove in the middle of the night. It was a classic. It was a big-time KFC mush. We're driving back, torrential downpour at 3 a.m. to the point that my wipers are on full blast, and I'm like, I still really can't see. And she's like, are we okay? Do we have to pull over? And I'm like, we're good. We're fine. We're good. And I'm like 10 and 2, leaning over like an old man, like squinting. I was like, we're fucked. We're fucked. She's got to go to the bathroom. We're pulling off at a fucking turnpike stop. I'm like, she's going to get kidnapped in there. What? The whole thing was a fiasco. Then I get back home, and I just have to spend the rest of the weekend with my family and all them.
And it was a false alarm.
False alarm. Obviously, still no baby. Which, like, as it was happening, I was like, this is a false alarm. But then all
of a sudden...
You
can't say that.
You can't say that, and then all of a sudden she,
you're
like...
You're being dramatic, 9-month pregnant woman.
Exactly. You can't say that. And then there was, like, a couple symptoms that were, like, very similar to Shay, and I was like... That's when I was like... And so despite all that, though, John, This was the best weekend I had in a long time. This was the best weekend I've had in years. And it's all thanks to you, baby boy. All thanks to what happened in Newport this weekend. I popped on Twitter, I guess it was Saturday morning, was it?
Sunday morning.
And I was fucking pumping my fist when I saw your tweet, bud.
I don't know how the fuck it happened.
Tell the story, pal. Set the scene for him.
I really don't understand how it happened. It makes no sense to me. So I did some kissing Saturday night.
A little bit of kissing. You've been a big kisser.
Been kissing a bit. And Sunday morning, I'm trying to think exactly how it went down because it's very confusing. Because she knew, like, who I was, but she just thought I was KFC.
Yes! Yes!
She was like,
that's better than sex. I feel like I just came in my pants.
Like, I was talking about you, and I went to pull up your Instagram, and she gave me a look like,
what?
Why are you going to someone else's Instagram? And so she's like, wait, you're not KFC? And I was like,
yes, yes, yes. Say it again.
I shot the most evil look. I was like, what do you mean I'm not KFC? She's like, I thought that was your moniker. I thought you were KFC. And I was like, what made you think that?
Why? My name is Feidelberg.
Why would you think that I was KFC? So, like, she didn't think I looked like she
just
knew.
She was she was just hoping for, hoping for the real deal.
She was just, she wasn't like, oh, you guys look alike, and she mistook me for KFC. She just thought that I was KFC.
She just had all the names mixed up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to go with, she knows exactly who I am. She just wanted that. She wanted that, not the JV Feidelberg.
Fucking
the exact tweet in the morning was, girl I kissed last night thought I was KFC. One of the toughest moments of my life. And I was like, it's one of the best of mine.
It was so fucking bad. I've never really gotten mad at a girl for like just regular reasons. And it was just like, what the fuck makes you think I'm KFC? Like, why do you think that? Why would you think that I'm Kevin Francis Clancy? What about me says KFC?
I mean, good looking, charismatic, charming, all those things. It's easy to get confused.
It's not easy to get
it's
confused.
Not
it's
easy
not
at all.
Easy to get confused.
I mean, this is a girl who just doesn't know us at all.
I guess.
Right?
I guess, yeah. Like, what the fuck? I don't know, Kevin. I don't know.
I just need more of it. I need it to happen again. I need her to like stop hooking up with you now. That would be the best. Like, oh no. Sorry, bud. I was confused. Have a good summer though. Oh God. I was walking around like fucking LeVar Ball.
It put me in such a mood. Like I didn't even drink yesterday.
I started drinking. I swear to God, it was like a Freaky Friday movie situation. We swapped lives for a split second in my brain, and I was like, this is living. I am living. Newport Nights, baby. I just fucking got laid.
My brother was like, you want a beer in the morning? I was like, no, I just want to go home. I want this weekend to be over. I'm done with this.
That's a tough one. That's a tough L.
It's as bad an L as I've taken in as long as I can remember.
And it's a big dub. It's a big dub over here. The universe just has to stay in balance sometimes. You know?
Why are you going to Kevin's Instagram page? Isn't it you? Like, what the fuck did you just say to me?
That's one sorely confused girl. That's for certain. But at the end of the day, you are the one doing Newport Nights, and more importantly, Newport Mornings. Which a good friend of ours named Drake has co-signed the morning, by the way, Seatox Retox season officially hit.
Seatox Retox hit this
week. Officially here. That also means it's officially Beachbody season. We declared those two things at the same exact time for the June 24th weekend.
I missed the second one.
Yeah, I think almost everybody did.
I missed the
that
second
kinda
one.
Crept up because it rained for like a month straight. And I don't think anybody, go to the gym in the rain. Nobody was getting tan. Everybody looked like shit. So I don't think anybody hit the beach body mark. But Seatox Retox was in full effect.
It was. And it was.
I mean, it worked.
It worked beautifully.
Every time.
In fact, right? So this, I tweeted the video. I go to my cliff, like 12 o'clock high. And it was actually one this time where it called 12 o'clock high because you're only supposed to jump at high tide.
Right.
It was not high tide. It was.
It looked a little dangerous.
It was decidedly low tide.
Were you?
I hit the bottom when I jumped.
That's a great way to shatter your heels.
But I've done that. I've done that. Like, that's nothing new. I hit the bottom pretty often. But it was one where I was still dude, I don't know about this. I don't know about today. And Lou's we kind of talked about not having BC with us in LA because it helps to have someone be like, just fucking do it.
Yes.
Like, we don't like to do things.
Yep. You need
stop
someone
being
to be
a
like,
pussy.
Go.
Go do it. Yep. Go create some content.
I would not have pushed you to jump off that cliff. I'd have been like, John, well, that's if you don't want to do this,
in.
That's fine.
He'll be like, let's do a Snapchat of you guys doing a shot. I'm like, okay. And then Lou is the crazier version, jump off that fucking building, bro.
Dude, I jumped off. And they're always, down the bottom of the rocks, there's always, some, Hispanic people fishing. And once I come up out of the water here, I got Emma!
Crazy gringos!
They don't know what's going on up there.
No.
It's just a body that came 30 feet flying down.
It's a video we're filming for our drinking t-shirt. Don't worry, we're good. That was, you just kind of kept falling. I was like, where's the water? Where's he going to hit the water? If you want to see it, it's on KFC Radio Twitter and KFC Radio Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
KFC Radio Instagram.
But it helps. And then, I was dragging ass. And then I fucking hauled ass up that cliff. I was moving.
Gave yourself 2 minutes. You did it in a minute 45.
I was fine again. And then I had eczema. Which it's pretty clear why those things went out of business.
Yeah.
They're really, really not good. I struggled. My plan was gonna be to chug it, and the second it hit my lips, I was like, nope.
Oh no, this will be a sip.
We're gonna spike the cap because we need to do something else other than chug this fucking thing. This poison. But then the problem with Cetox Retox is how quickly the retox comes. Because you feel great, and then
then you're just wasted right away.
Three spike seltzers later, I was.
God.
Piss drunk.
Yeah. That's the best part.
Really, really drunk.
That's the best part. And that's where our friend Drake comes in. Drake totally down with this whole idea, this whole life of Cetox Retox to start it up in the morning. And what he says here is not even that creative. It's not even that special. It's just a fact. Just matter of hours and days, what you have to do something for a full
champagne
day.
With breakfast while I'm yawning. You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
It's just a fact.
That's a fact.
Lord, forgive me.
You cannot drink all day unless you start in the morning.
It's just how it works.
You can't.
Hey, John, I've been drinking all day. What time did you start? Oh, I don't know, one? Nope. Nope. You haven't been drinking all day. You haven't been drinking all day. That's not how it works, pal. It's a beautiful mantra to live by.
It must be nice to be Drake, to be able to. And I say that I didn't do the same thing. But drink all day. Champagne with breakfast while I'm yawning. Drink all day. Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
But you know what? This is why the summer's nice, because come Saturday, you'll be back in Newport. You'll be living the same life on some level as Drake. You two will wake up, you'll yawn, you'll have some champagne, and you'll drink all day. And it's like, yeah. Well, hey, Drake, what are you doing? Just woke up, drank some champagne, I'm going to drink all day. Me too. Me too, Trizzy. You made $85 million this year, but we're doing the same fucking thing.
We live the same life. Yeah, that's true.
His locale might be different. His company might be different. He's probably hooking up with girls who actually know who he is.
All right.
You know.
All right. That's enough
but
of that.
But the summertime, everybody can live a little bit of Drake life.
That's true. That's kind of poetic right there.
I mean, the whole thing is poetic.
Yeah. I really don't have anything else to say.
Champagne
it is.
For breakfast, it's, and you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning, is just simple poetry.
It's alcoholism, also.
Well, that's definitely true. That's most certainly true. You know, champagne's not alcoholism. Imagine someone being like, yo, I'm an alcoholic, and it's like, oh, really? What's your poison? It's like, I drink champagne in the morning. I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. You're not an alcoholic.
If you're like, there are all those fucking stipulations about alcoholism. Like, oh, if you drink 3 drinks a night, more than 3 times a week, you're an alcoholic, or whatever that bullshit is. If you're just doing it,
doing bubbly, you're not.
If you don't carry a flask full of fucking whiskey,
right,
and antifreeze.
If you don't reach over
alcoholic.
And grab a bottle off your bedside table when you wake up and take a swig to start the morning,
that's alcoholism.
Yeah, that's
just fun.
Right.
This is Drake has a severe case of liking fun.
That's Drake has a severe case of his life being awesome.
Imagine that, like, actually saying you're an alcoholic because you drink too much champagne.
Could you imagine if you went to, like, AA and you were like, oh, yeah, hi, my name's John, and I drink too much champagne. They'd be like, boo!
I drink...
Get the fuck out of here!
I drink champagne at nice hotels by the water all the time.
While I'm yawning.
Yeah, it's like, you have to fucking...
I'm too drunk to yawn!
It's like, you have to, like, drink in, like... dark places.
Yes.
If you're
with
drinking,
like dark people, like, yeah. So you have to be like, your life has to be like in danger. Come on, Drake's life ain't. Nobody's life is in danger from drinking champagne in the morning. Okay?
No, that's very true.
Brunching with mimosas, but so that's gonna be everywhere because everything Drake does is just Drake can put out anything at this point. You'll hear signs for the rest of the summer. You'll hear every girl being like champagne in the morning. You'll hear idiots like us being like you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. It's gonna be everywhere. So I figured right now we'll do a little. Recap too of the second wave of the songs of the summer. So I guess a month or so ago we did Despacito, we did I'm the One, let's call it, we got to take an L on that one. I will stand by it. I think I'm the One is far superior to Despacito. I'm actually getting very sick of Despacito. But as far as radio plays and all that shit, how they measure songs of the summer, it's Despacito.
Yeah.
I just can't take like 70% of the song when the guys are just fucking in Spanish. Because it's not Danza Caduro type of shit. It's not like we're like, those. I don't care that they're singing Spanish on that song. That shit is just electrical fire.
Right.
This is like, I don't know. I liked it. I've worn very thin of it. I still think I'm the One is like a funner song. More stars on it. You got Khaled, the whole nine. But facts are facts. Despacito is the front runner. We did the Ellie Goulding song. There was a couple others in the mix. But it was like pre-Memorial Day. It was like a week before Memorial Day.
Yeah, it was early.
Now, like, the second wave comes in. This song right here, I'm putting on I'm the One level for myself. I don't expect everybody else to agree with that, but I've abused No Promises, like, for 4 straight days. Like, on repeat, all day and night.
No problem. I didn't know what the name of the song was. I didn't know who sang it. But when you played it beforehand, I was like, oh, I know this song.
When this shit hits,
and
this shit goes. I don't even like Demi Lovato. It doesn't matter who it is.
Oh, I love Demi Lovato.
This song.
That Demi Lovato song that she did at the Gay Pride Parade like 3 years ago, that song still is like heavy rotation.
She puts hits out. Just be
careful, I thought this was Bieber, too.
I was just saying, it just should be Bieber. Just give all of these songs to Bieber. This song, and all of it, is perfect. And it's like a very nice little message. It's a very like little romantic song.
Why? What's Promise Me No Promises?
It's like, love is complicated. Let's dive in together. Let's not make any promises. Let's just have fun. Like,
I don't know if that's romance as much as it's just let's fuck.
Well, I guess me and you have different definitions of romance.
I think
like
the message
love is complicated. Let's just like
fucking see what happens.
Hey, all right, well, I'm down to rock with that too. I think it's a great message.
It's a good message. I just don't know if
romance is the
word
for it.
It's like let's go to bed and then we'll deal with tomorrow.
We'll see if you even know who I am in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See
if you even know my name.
What the fuck?
Maybe you get confused with my coworker. I don't know. We'll figure it out from there. Rita Ora, your song. Fire. I've got a thing for Rita Ora, by the way.
I love her. I didn't think she used to be that hot for some reason. I love
British accent.
I guess it was probably the whole Rob Kardashian thing.
That was a little weird.
But, yeah, I'm big into Rita Ora.
This song, bangs. Her other one a couple years ago, I'll Never Let You Down. Bangs. This song's romantic. I don't want to be mad anymore. This is perfect for me. Like, I don't want to be mad. I don't want to be sad. Let's just have, like, fun songs. That's what
all
I
of these things, I guess it's like everything to me comes back to sex. But, like, again, this is just like, let's fuck.
No, this is not about fucking. Come on. No fear, but I think I'm falling. I'm usually the type of girl that would hit it and run, but now I'm not gonna. This is the opposite.
All right, all right. I've proven wrong on that one.
What else we got here? And then, so this is the last one we'll do here for the second wave of the Songs of Summer. A little bit of debate here on the latest effort from Justin Bieber, which
it's fine. It's
there's a lot of hate, not hate, but a lot of people were out on this song, and I was very surprised because I think this shit is hot.
It's good. It's like, look, I don't jump for the radio dial, like. like the Seinfeld Big Bang Theory transition just went down when this comes on. I'm not like, if I don't get this off in 2 seconds, I'm going to die.
Yeah, you better not be.
But it's like, I don't think I've gone to put it on since the first night I put it on.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm a Guetta guy, and I feel like this was like a David Guetta beat. I almost feel like it was not a beep. It was a Bieber on a Guetta song as opposed to
Guetta on a Bieber song. That's what it is, right? It's on Spotify, it's under Guetta.
But I'm okay with that. I guess probably that's why maybe people didn't accept it as much, because it wasn't like a real the same vibe as the other Bieber songs. But I like this Guetta shit. I liked when he was hot. And I think this drop is dope.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I love that. People like, oh, the beats, the drop is soft. I was like, that's the best fucking part. I mean, I'm not going to call it I'm the One or Despacito, but...
It's like, I mean, it's like I said, it's fine. But I if you're telling me like you often go to your iPod and put it on, I disagree with you.
Well, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
This is true. I chose
that's
I'm the
what it all boils down to. All right, let's get into some voicemails. They're brought to you by SeatGeek. We're going to bang out these voicemails, then we'll get into our interview with Shab. And but SeatGeek is the best way to get tickets. You want to go see Brendan Schaub when he's performing live? Guy's selling out fucking... Dude's selling out like theaters in Australia for his comedy shows. It's like, oh yeah, no, I was like a giant fucking MMA fighter, good-looking guy. I'm also just charismatic enough that people around the world will come see me tell jokes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
It's not a bad life.
You want to go watch guys fight MMA, you want to go watch fucking comedy shows in theaters, you want to do whatever Brendan Schaub does, you want to go see it? SeatGeek's got you covered. They are a free app that puts all the tickets in the secondary market to all these live events and one easy-to-read chart so you know exactly how much you're going to spend per ticket. It's also guaranteed tickets, no fraudulent tickets, so you can't get into any event. And right now, if you use the promo code KFC, you get $10 off your first purchase. So download the free SeatGeek app, go to settings, add a promo code, enter promo code KFC, and get $10 off your first purchase, whether it's sporting events, whether it's concerts, whether it's the theater, whether it's comedy events, anything live, SeatGeek's got you covered. Promo code KFC for $10 off your first purchase. Voicemails, let's go.
Where you want to go?
Let's begin with sex toy pyramid scheme.
Oh, my.
Hey, KFC Fights. I need a guy's opinion on a girl problem. My best friend got suckered into doing one of those pyramid schemes where you have to, like, buy the product up front and then sell it to your friends. The problem is the product is sex toys, like dildos and vibrators and lubes. And she's throwing 6 of these quote-unquote romance parties a month and making me feel like I'm a bad friend for going to these parties and buying sex toys from her. She's also making me feel guilty that I'm not getting my coworkers involved and not having them host parties
for
their
friends
so that she can make money off of this. I guess my question is, do you guys know that this is a thing that girls do? Am I a bad friend for not wanting to buy sex toys from her? And is there anything that guys do that's, like, comparable to this? Like, you're obligated to do something for your buddy that you just really don't want to do
close.
And you think is really weird and awkward? I don't know.
I mean, there's nothing even remotely close.
I mean, you'd have to torture me to get me to do, like...
anything. These
things are called intimate toys for a reason.
Yeah, it's like, not supposed to be shared and celebrated with coworkers
and
strangers.
My friends will never know. Like, if you fucking knew, like, the porn I watched, like, you would look at me different.
Absolutely.
If I was a chick and, like, I'm like, I'll take the fucking huge one. Like,
yeah, right?
From now on, your relationship with that person is different forever.
You got any 18-inch black ones in there for me? These are all, like, child's play. I also think that I would imagine buying a sex toy, like a good sex toy, is kind of like you just need that one for a long time. Like 6 a month. This girl, was she 6 a month? What is this girl supposed to do?
Dude, sex toys are like pretty expensive, I think.
Yeah,
like
that's what I mean. Like, you buy a quality one, you drop loot on it, and then you're probably good for like a decade. Like, that shit will rattle your clit for 10 straight years, okay? You don't need one every other week, every twice a week. Fucking 6 a month? Why don't you get your coworkers involved? Bitch, are you crazy?
That's insane to me. I can't imagine. Why would you ever want this undertaking? And, like, also, like...
Hey, how much money can you really make in this sex toy pyramid scheme that it's worth, like, fucking schlepping around a giant box of sex toys being like, yep, I'm just slinging these dildos, making that paper.
That's why I know, like, I'll never be rich, because I'm just not a hustler.
No,
like,
never.
Like, people like that are, like, just someone who, like, I need to make money and I'll do whatever it takes. I'll be poor.
What if they said, like, you can make an extra, like, 30 grand a year right now, but you got to, like, run around with these box of dildos.
No shot.
50 grand.
Nope.
100 grand.
I think 100 maybe.
100, yeah. 100, yeah. 100 is where it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll like try this out at least.
Because also, like, if you gave me an upfront maybe, but if you're like, you'll be taking in X amount of dollars every other week, I'd be like,
that doesn't even move the needle.
No, that doesn't make
sense. That's just like a bar tab.
I need
here
a lump sum. Yeah.
But a pyramid scheme also has to be something that you can buy into yourself. Like, I felt like there was a need. Like, when I was in college, there was like a pyramid scheme for like
for real
insurance
estate,
and
insurance,
stuff like that.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
were
yeah.
like,
how
maybe,
many people
maybe
are out there?
Work. But you can't anticipate the demand. Like, how? There needs to be dildos. Like, people, there's a shortage. and we need to fill it.
How many people can be beneath you on the pyramid of a fucking dildo scheme? Like, that just does not seem like a sound business
she
at all.
She says, do guys know girls do this? Lady, they don't. This is and your weird friends.
It started out with like Tupperware parties, right? Like,
right.
That's where they used to get together and buy Tupperware. And then I've heard of, I think it's like a bachelorette sort of thing almost, like, but not just like a regularly scheduled, like, gotta go to my sex toy sales party.
No. And can you imagine, like, just what does someone would do if they like broke into this girl's house? She's got a room of fuck toys. Like, just boxes.
You go home, like Costco of dildos.
You go home with that girl for the night. You walk into her bedroom and there's just like 100 dildos on the bed.
Boxes,
oh, don't mind that. That's my side gig.
All the way to the ceiling, okay. Just fuck toys, just eroscalators and rabbits and fucking butt plugs. Like, what the hell is your deal, lady?
I'd turn right around, man. I like to think that we're all like kinky and we get down. If I saw that, I'd be like, deuces,
yeah,
I'm out of here.
Yeah, in my mind, I'd be like, oh yeah, we get crazy. Like, hell no.
Nope.
I get the fuck out of there. I'm not playing one-on-one with Jordan.
let's go with 2, Mystery Tinder BJ.
This is weird.
Yo, KFC Fights. Long time, first time. So I have something kind of similar to the Glory Hole story.
Oh, fuck.
So my buddy messaged this chick on Tinder, and he starts talking to her.
So he's a buddy.
And after about 10 messages, she asked him to go hang out. And so he's like, yeah, sure. So she gives me the address. It's an apartment complex. So he goes, he gets there, he messages her. And he's there, and she sends back, come up and sit down. So he goes up, and he opens the door to a room with a chair and a sheet hanging. So he sits down with the sheet hanging over his dick. And then someone starts to just blow him. After a few minutes, he finished up and just got up and left. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. I still think it was a dude. So he said they never spoke.
I mean, this is the same thing as like a glory hole. Like, you need to know what's going on the other side of your dick.
I thought it was going another way because I actually saw like a story on Twitter about this where it was like someone DM'd like, come to the hotel and like, there was like, I'll suck your dick through a sheet or whatever. And then when he got there, he just got beat up.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I think that might be an urban legend because I've heard like variations of it.
Really?
That. Yeah.
So I was ready to call bullshit on this story. If the actual blowjob went to completion, perhaps it's real. But yeah, fuck. Like, no. You know, no one's sucking my dick through anything.
Through anything?
No, not through a wall, not through a sheet, not through nothing.
No sort of barrier can be between mouth, orifice, dick.
The barrier was just a sheet, though. Like, I think this guy just wanted to live out this fantasy, because you could just move the sheet. Like, he was
the guy
right
went through with it. He's fucked up too. I'm just saying, I'm not down with any of this. It's not my fantasy. It's actually my fear. I need to know who is on the other end of my dick.
Remember, like in what was it? Like Fear Factor, when like you stick your hand in a box
yeah.
and like, see what's in there. That's what you're doing with your penis.
Bro, forget about Fear Factor. Remember when you were a little kid, you'd put your hand in the pumpkin with the spaghetti at Halloween, and they'd be like, feeling brains. I didn't even like doing that, okay? And I knew it was my second grade teacher putting spaghetti in a fucking pumpkin barrel.
Don't forget, we heard last time, sometimes your dick gets punched. Like, you really need to have eyes on your dick at all times.
Well, things
can happen.
I think these people, like, it's just, like, we talk about sex a lot, talk about jerking off, porn, all the whole thing.
These are people who are deviants.
These are just like, you're unhealthily horny.
Yeah.
If you're willing to put, I mean, you're putting life and limb on the line.
Yep.
When you go into a random room, sit in a chair, and put your dick through a hole, and go, hope something good happens here. That's crazy.
That is crazy behavior.
Just
your most precious fucking item.
Like, you need to jerk off more. Like,
J-J-O,
like,
homie.
That's just
if someone's ever,
shit.
Like, even just the whole, like, come upstairs and, like, sit on the chair, I'd be like, I'm going to jerk off and go home.
Like, no.
You're like, scaring me. Like, let's meet for, like, a Tinder date.
Yeah.
And then we'll have, like, normal sex. Don't bark out orders. And certainly don't have a fucking chair with a sheet set up and I have to sit there all anonymous.
That one's even scarier. To me, that one's actually even scarier than the glory hole. Because, like we said with the glory hole, is worst case scenario, your dick gets cut off. Best case scenario, you get blown by a girl. Probable case, you get blown by a guy. This is like that, only like... Like, someone could just rape and kill you.
Yeah, too. Right. Like, on top of it all, you might just get murdered.
At least I feel like the glory hole wall at least offers some kind of protection. This sheet, they can kill you through a sheet.
Just get chopped, your head chopped right off with an axe.
Yeah.
Goes right through the sheet, right through your fucking neck. I also feel like there's an understanding with the glory hole. It's like, we're going to do weird things to your dick right now. But the sheet, it might be Dexter. You might get killed, wrapped up in that sheet, and thrown in the dumpster.
It's no hold bar.
Easy one stop killing.
It's way worse with the sheet.
We'll do one more voicemail, and we'll get into it with Shab. Let's go with Married a Friend from Money, number one.
Oh. Yo, what's up, KFC Fights? Got a pretty fun one. So I'm in the Army, and I married my boy, just a buddy of mine, you know, because it gets me, I think, an extra $1,500 a month.
Whoa.
You know, so why not?
Whoa.
So when I did it, it was no big deal. But since then, I've gotten in a fairly serious relationship coming on a year now. And, she has no idea that I'm married to a dude. So now what? Because I feel like at one point she's going to have to find out. Or I don't tell her. Or, I mean, there's a crossroads somewhere, right? So do I tell her? Do I go commit? Just preemptive
breakup? You can't get married twice, right?
Who knows? Because as of right now, I've got a girlfriend I'm very, very serious about. But also a husband. So, it's gonna hurt somewhere.
Wow,
that's one of my favorite voicemails ever
of all time.
That's a
top five. That's a Hall of Famer. The casual matter of fact, like, so married my buddy.
Yeah,
I thought it was gonna be like at least married a friend of the opposite sex.
Yeah,
for her money.
I was definitely thinking. I mean,
like gold digger shit.
Call me like old fashioned, but I was thinking he was marrying a woman for money.
An extra $1,500 a month. Is a nice chunk of cash.
Not enough.
Not worth this circumstance.
If I'm not selling dildos for it, I'm not marrying a guy.
I mean, you got to think. You have to have a little more foresight than this. Hey, no, I get to live rent-free. Eventually, you're going to have to explain to some girl that you're married to a dude.
And also,
that's
you're
going to
have to get divorced. Right. That costs money.
Right. And then you're a divorcee.
And not that you're necessarily going to have like a bad divorce. But
you know what? What if he doesn't want to get divorced? Then you're going to have a bad one. What if that guy's like, yo, I need that $1,500. We're not getting divorced. And then you're stuck in an unhealthy marriage to your friend. You cannot.
I ruined my friendship by getting married.
You cannot. Yo, getting married is the dumbest thing in the world that we do. You can't do it all willy-nilly with your fucking buddy.
I mean, there's definitely a price for it. It's just not
$1,500. It's a lot higher than that. Because that girl's gone. I hope you don't love that girl. When you're like, yo.
I don't know. I feel like I could explain it away. Maybe I'm a little too confident in my abilities. I've gotten out of some pretty tight jams before.
And I'd love to see that one.
I think this one.
I guess so. You could just be like, it was a.
Like, look,
you know,
I never sucked his dick. He never fucked me in the ass. Like, it was just some money thing. Like, he's my best friend. Like, we're tight. We wanted some money.
We're real tight. That is an awkward conversation to have.
Also, guy's in the Army. I feel like he, like. This is going to get, like, investigated now.
Yeah. I feel like he committed fraud.
Yeah. This is big
time illegal.
It's like stealing money from, I assume this extra money comes from having a dependent from the Army. So
and
like,
it's like government money. This guy's double fucked. This is double fraud.
I feel like I guess we should at least scrub the tape on that one and
maybe we'll
make sure he doesn't say
the voice
his
changer
anything,
on him.
I forget.
So I married my buddy for $1,500 a month. What do I do?
What's your number? What's your number to get married to me?
To you, pal?
Yeah.
Like $750 a month. Now, it's got to be...
If we could get this sponsored, you guys might have to get married. Don't let sales find out
about
this.
What was that movie called? Luck and Chuck and Larry?
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. Yeah.
I now pronounce you Feidelberg and Clancy. This is a dangerous question, because what if I say something way too low? What if you're like, oh, I was thinking times 1,000. I'd marry you for like a mil.
A million?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking less than that.
Yes! You're fucking gay! My number was way lower than that when I said a million on purpose.
yeah,
Yeah, I was thinking like $100,000.
Oh, shit.
I basically do anything for $100,000 is what I've learned.
I'll sell
now.
Dildos. I'll marry dudes. Give me $100,000. That's my fucking price.
I think $100,000 I'd get married to you. I'd be like, we're not fucking or anything like
let's
that.
Let's go $250. Let's put it at $250 so we're not gay.
Is that the price that makes you not gay?
Yes, $250 straight.
$250?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't hate the idea of it. I think it'd be pretty cool to be married to your bro. I think you fucking, like, I don't think you get in fights. Like I don't think we'd have fights like you have with your wife.
No,
like,
I mean, we never had a fight now.
I think
it would be the same thing.
Be like, what do you want to do tonight? You want to go to the bar? Let's go to the bar. Fucking me and my hubby.
Hey, fights. Will you marry me?
Yeah, I'll fuck $250, yeah. For $100. I'll
do this shit for free. All right, let's do it. We got this interview with Brendan Schaub coming up. Last 40 minutes. Like I said, awesome interview. Enjoy it. We'll catch you guys next episode later this week. All right, it's KFC Radio here. We got a very special guest. This is a dude that I've been trying to link up with for a while. We've been kind of crossing paths and trying to get schedules to sync up. He's finally here in the building at Barstool HQ. Please welcome the one and only Brendan Schaub to the show.
What's up, man?
What are you doing, pal?
You know, just trying to adjust to this New York lifestyle. I feel like I'm in World War Z, man. It's so crowded.
It's not inaccurate.
Me and my brother were walking, trying to get here. We got lost, had to jump in a taxi. I'm just not used to it, man.
I mean, it's numbers. It's just a grid. The numbers go up, the numbers go down.
No, I get it. It's a bit of a beast, though. I like
so you're,
it,
you're a California guy through and through?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Different world. I was out there last week, and I was like, I guess this is the total opposite of that. I'm just looking around. I'm like, what is this about? Like sunshine, like trees and shit.
People are friendly.
Yeah, it's like hot, nice weather, space to move around.
Here, I just feel like everyone's in such a rush, man.
Always.
It gives me a little bit of anxiety. Like everyone has their hustle here.
I hate it because I don't want to be this way, but like I go out there and we're ordering lunch and like the waitress is kind of taking her time because she's a normal human who's just like, I'll get to you in a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, come on, what's going on? Let's go.
Come on, lady.
I've been here 7 minutes. Where's my food? I don't want to be that way, but it's just kind of in my blood now, so it sucks. So you and me, not so different in a way.
How so?
Yeah. We ended up in this world of podcasting.
True.
And content. We didn't start there, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of our second act,
yeah.
Me and you.
Yep.
And I think my job and your previous job both took its toll on us physically, mentally, and emotionally.
True, man.
Mine just happened to be a little bit different, I think. Maybe not as much of a risk of physical violence, but I was emotionally and mentally tormented sitting at a desk crunching numbers on Microsoft Excel and knew it was time for a change.
Yeah.
You're just still a little bit different is all.
A little different. Still, you know, still have to clock in and put in the work.
Yeah, for sure.
But it gives you perspective. You know, like what I do now, you know, as far as comedy and podcasting and TV shows is if I didn't go through the grind of fighting, I wouldn't have that perspective, you know? So I paid my dues, and hopefully the brain trauma doesn't catch up.
So I can still do it, bro. You got it.
We'll see. It could kick in any minute, man. We have no idea. You see Warren Sapp? He goes, no one wants to admit they can't find their way home. I'm like, God damn. You can't find your way home?
Well, you had trouble getting here, bro.
How bad is it? Yeah, yeah. Dude. Oh, God.
Oh, shit. It's kicking in.
Oh, God. I don't even realize it anymore. I lost my key this morning.
No, I think we're all just idiots. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It is scary, though.
Yeah, no, the perspective is a, you know, it's an interesting thought because obviously what you did is provides a very unique type of perspective. I mean, something that 99.999% of the world can't come from that perspective.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you know, when you walk through the fire, it you come out stronger from it. You know, like two nights ago, you know, I shot a comedy set for This Not Happening on Comedy Central. And man, I haven't been doing comedy that long. The other guys I'm up there with, they're straight veterans, man. Mm-hmm. But fighting grown man in your underwear on pay-per-view, if you can deal with that stress, with Comedy Central, I was like, God, I'm good, man.
Dude, I've
like,
actually,
everyone was worried about me. Like, my agent's like, you good? I'm like, I'm good, man. I fought Mirko Krokop. I'm good. I'm telling a dick joke up here.
Right.
I'm good,
that's a
man.
Lot easier.
Yeah,
I actually
good.
Think about that. Like, when you come from a spot where, I mean, you've gone toe-to-toe with some of these, like, monsters. Do you feel like there's nothing you can't handle?
Yeah, to a certain extent. You know, but I was so scared in there. Like, I'm not scared of this show bit. Like, show business doesn't scare me.
Right.
But it motivates me. Like, in fighting, I was, man. I was scared in there. Like, even though I was a big, tough dude and I knew what I was doing, I was in phenomenal shape, I was scared.
Right.
You know, so it's like,
but I think
you find out what you're made of, but I just know I can deal with that pressure and anxiety,
right.
Which now, you know, before, I think if I didn't play professional sports or I didn't grow up in those stressful situations, man, you put me on Comedy Central, I'd probably shit my pants.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, the average person probably thinks of stepping on TV in front of cameras, in front of people, as the most pressure-packed situation, the most scared they've ever been, because they've never gone. They've never stepped in a fucking octagon. You know, there's just like, that's not that hard.
Bro, I'll tell you what, man. And there's some similarities. Like, you know, when you're in that locker room and then they yell, time to roll, fire in the hole, Shab, you're up. And you're waiting and the curtain's like this and the camera's in your face and you're waiting for your walkout music and you can hear, you know, the countdown that they're playing for the crowd. And you're like, I'm going to knock this bitch out or whatever. You know, you're like, I can't believe I said that. Now I got to do it.
I got to back that shit up.
And then they open it like, you're up, go. And they play your walkout song. You got to walk through that crowd. It's that just that moment before then, your brain is like going a million miles an hour.
Sure.
And it's the scariest thing I've ever faced in my life.
Yeah.
And then when you hit the crowd, you know, you kind of feel it out. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to fight a grown man in a steel cage right now.
Well, how did I end up here? Why do you let me do this, bro?
Oh my God, what bad decisions did I make in life? But then the other day, same thing. Camera in my face, behind the curtain, getting ready for Comedy Central. I'm dealing with the same, you know, similar nerves, but not as much. But the similar nerves. I'm like, this feels familiar, man.
It's a performance in a way, whether it's
anxiety
or entertaining.
Yes.
Did you know prior to, or just growing up, did you know you had like the chops for comedy and entertainment?
My mom did. Like, I was obsessed with Saturday Night Live. Like, that was everything, man. Like, my heroes were Adam Sandler, Jim Carrey. Like, I was obsessed with those guys. I was just blessed with some athletic ability. And where I grew up, that's a way to stick out. In Denver, Colorado, there's not a huge outlet to be a comedian or anything like that. There's also, if you want to tell your parents you're going to be a comedian, they're like, shut up. What are you doing? What? So, for me, sports was the outlet.
What was it when it was like, hey, mom, dad, I'm going to fight grown men in my underwear?
Oh, they hated
it.
Yeah, sure. Because I got done with football and, you know, I have a college degree and like, for sure, just go work a regular job. I was like, that would be cool, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fight grown men in my underwear. They're like, you're a moron. They kind of, you know.
I was joking before when I compared us, but similar situation where it was like, I had a normal job that was paying well, good, like, and I was like, I'm going to go blog. Mm-hmm. They were like, I don't even know what the fuck that means. What are you talking about? You're staying put. So sometimes you just got to go out on a limb, right?
Yeah, I think it's a personality trait where you go a little bit against the grain. Like, how easy would it be for you just to chill behind that computer and do that all your life, get the benefits, the check? Mm-hmm. You just look forward to, you know, Friday happy hours. Like, that's your life, you know?
I couldn't.
For some people, you know, it's tough to get out of that freaking grind. Yep. But then someone just goes, I don't want to do this, man. I'd rather be broke and try this.
Well, you know what it was, too? I knew that I wasn't good at it.
Well, that,
you know, I was getting by, but I was looking around at everybody else. I was like, that dude's getting a promotion. That guy's getting a bonus. That guy really knows what he's doing. He's going to the top. And I was like, I'm still just here.
Yeah,
so
just here.
It was, you know, as much as I wanted to get out because I didn't like it, it was like, it was a smart move in the sense that I'm not going anywhere.
I
don't have the chops for this.
See, I think that's so important, realizing those
self-awareness
things.
Man.
Yeah. Well, for me with fighting, I just, you know, I was good. Was I Cain Velasquez or freaking Conor McGregor? No, but I was good, man, and I could have stayed around for a long time. But I saw how that movie ends when you stay around a long time. Like, oh, I don't want that. Right. I don't want to slur my words or talk like that. Like, that's not the life I want.
Right.
Like, this, it's not worth it to me.
And especially if you have a fallback of some sort. Like, so at what point were you like, because if you don't have another skill, if you're not entertaining or funny or what, you know, you probably just stick around and you're like, I'll deal with
the
repercussions later. So what was there a moment where you were like, I know I'm good enough at this, so I'm going to cut it off early and jump into a new career?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, I was doing the podcast with my partner in crime, Brian Callen, who's an actor, comedian. I didn't even know what podcasting was, really. And I was fighting, doing the podcast once a week with him. And I'd go through airports, and Brian nicknamed me Big Brown because I'm big and I have brown skin. But
pretty accurate name.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'd go through the airport, and people would yell Big Brown. And I'm like, what the why are they calling me? And I'm like, oh, they listen to the show. That's weird. Because I didn't think podcasts were a big deal.
Mm.
So I get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, I don't know, man. I was getting ready to fight, I think it was Andre Arlovsky or Matt Mitrione in Toronto. And, you know, at the time, there was no Reebok. So you could wear whatever sponsor you want. And I would make shirts. You know, you guys do great shirts. Mm-hmm. And so I make this Abbott Kinney Fight Club shirt. It was like a copy, kind of a parody of Wild Card Gym Boxing. And so, but said Abbott Kinney, which is like a fancy street with coffee cup on it. That's what all our comedian friends were, Abbott Kinney Fight Club, like it's a joke.
Got it.
So I wore that out, And then the shirt sold out. I was like, dang, that's kind of cool, man. And then I just started to care more about the podcast, and I was thinking about it. And then Brian, I was getting ready to spar this guy. I'll never forget this. His name was Jack Mays, and he was a K-1 monster kickboxer. He's 6'8", 270 pounds. And in camp for Travis Brown, we were paying him $500 if he could land a head kick and $1,000 if he could knock me out. Homeboy needed to eat, so he was –
he was ready.
Yeah, he was trying to knock me out. And Brian came to training camp, and I was wrapping my hands, and he walks in. Brian goes, "Who the fuck is that?" I go, "That's the guy I'm sparring, man." He goes, "What? What?" And I go, "Yeah." And they pay him if he lands a head kick or knocks me out. He goes, "Oh, dude, I'm telling you, you don't have to do this. Like, you do not have to do this anymore. I'm telling you, you can do comedy." And I was like, "You're crazy, man. You're crazy." And then I've just been so fortunate because Brian Callen, Joe Rogan, Chris D'Elia, Burt Kreischer, Tom Segura, like, that's my crew, man. Yeah. Like, those guys.
That's a good crew to be with.
And that's I'm telling you, can do this. So I've been super fortunate, man. And then it wasn't a money thing. I never got into entertainment for money. I just love doing it.
But
and
at the same
then
time.
Then all of a sudden, I started to get paychecks, and I'm like, hold on. For these ads, I'm doing my podcast, and then getting punched in the face, I actually got paid more for playing grab ass with my boy.
It's maybe not about money, but once the money is comparable or even more, that's when you're comfortable to make that jump.
Yes, that's when you're like, all right,
let's go.
Obviously, the universe is like, over here, moron, right. Over here.
And you said it was like exactly the same by the Travis Brown fight, right?
The money?
Yeah.
Yeah, better.
Yeah.
Better. The money was like a little better.
That's unbelievable.
So it's like an easy
It was
call.
Not, and I was like, what's going on here?
Do you have any, like, fighter buddies who are like, fuck you, man? Like, I'm still sitting here taking shots to the head, and you just get to read 60-second ads. And
yeah, right? No, you know what it is? It gives them, because I was the first guy to do it, right? So now you see other fighters trying to mimic it, and you see other, you know, the UFC has their podcast, the Comedian Fighter, and you see other shows, Comedian Fighters on Sirius, stuff like that. But that's the wrong route to go. What they don't realize is what makes the Fire and the Kids special, what Brian and I do special, it's not because I'm a fighter and he's a comedian. It's because we're best friends, and it's like the boys' club.
Chemistry.
People want to be – it's chemistry. Yeah. You can't find that. You can't just put any random comedian, any fighter, and hope you have the Fire and the Kid.
Which I'm imagining – there's got to be copycats trying to just call off, right?
They're everywhere now. But it's flattering. Yeah. But now what I get is all the fighters call me for advice on podcasting, merchandise, comedy, TV, and I love it, man, but I'm not saying I'm fucking Kevin Hart here, but it's a tough gig.
Yeah,
like, no, you're not
absolutely.
Just going to walk into it. Like, it takes a hustle, man.
We kind of hear the same thing. How do I do a podcast? How do I start a blog? How do I make money? And it's like, I'm sure you know more. There's some tips you can give, right? But there's not, like, there's no magic answer. There's no formula. If you do this, then, you know, A plus B equals C. It's not like that. There's got to be some level of – it's like sports in a way. It's like you either got it or you don't when it comes
down
to it. I
agree. And, like, with Barstool, like, you guys work your – I don't need to ask you. You guys work your ass off. I'm busier now than I've ever been in my life. Like, I barely have any free time, man. I work my tail off where I'm doing now. So for those guys, it's not like I sit down with Brian 2 hours, like, yeah, that was fun, done.
Yeah,
see you next week.
I'm gonna go take a nap.
No, man. There's all sorts of stuff that go into it.
Right.
Employees, there's a team. It's a beast, man.
What do you think?
I love it.
Is there a reason? I mean, it sounds like a lot of these copycats maybe haven't, you know, reached the same level of success. But obviously Joe Rogan was massive and went from this comedian actor route to MMA. And then there's a guy like you who was a fighter and now can kind of do the entertainment thing. Is it coincidence, or do you think there's something about, like, the MMA community where these guys are pretty personable and charismatic so they can – it translates? Or do you think you two and a couple of the other guys that may do it are just coincidence?
I think some guys have a special skill set, and I think some guys see dollar signs and get into it for the wrong reasons, and they're not making money. You can tell who those guys are. I'm not going to call them out, but you can tell. You're like, oh, my God, they're literally just doing this because they think they're going to make a ton of money. Rogan's a special dude where he's a monster, man. He's so knowledgeable, and he's a guy where his podcast isn't MMA related. He has
he's talking about all sorts of shit,
authors,
yeah.
You know. But when we do the fight campaign together, I mean, you're talking about the biggest sports show in the world. But at when we do one of those, we get around 12 million listeners and viewers.
Christ.
Just one episode, 12 million. It's
That's
nuts.
Major.
Man. It's the biggest sports show in the world.
Do you think there's a timing thing too? Like, as MMA kind of became mainstream and kind of popped, the you guys were kind of in on it right then and there?
Yeah, maybe. But the thing is, the MMA numbers are down. like this is a down year for the UFC. My podcast, Rogan's podcast, and he has the biggest podcast in the world. He's at like 120 million downloads a month. It's fucking crazy. Nuts. You know, we're around, depending on the month, 10 to 15 million downloads, you know?
That's so, major numbers.
Yeah, those are the good numbers. But the sport of MMA, the number's actually down. But both the similarity with both our shows is we're not a sports show.
Right. Like, we say that all the time.
I'm not a sports show.
Sports is the most misleading thing in the world.
No, they have us in sports.
Right.
Like the Big Brown Breakdown, the podcast I do myself, which is balls deep in MMA. Like, it's, you know, I talk about MMA a ton. That's a sports show. So that should be in sports. But the Fire and the Kid, are you kidding me? I can't remember last time we talked about
it. Yeah, it's pop culture.
My partner's 50. He doesn't know sports at all. He knows nothing about sports. Fox wanted to offer us a sports show, and they're like, yeah, we'd love to do it. The problem is your guy doesn't know anything about sports. I'm like, I know he's funny. Like, no, we get that. He's hilarious. It's a fucking sports show, though. I'm like, no, I can help him out. Like, we're good. We're going to put someone else in. I'm like, I'm not doing it, man. I need him there.
You got to have your guy. Funny. Like you said, the chemistry, man. You can't just mix and match. You can't plug and play.
That's what
you need those guys.
Do, man.
No, it's crazy to me.
Same with sports, too. Like, chemistry what wins championships.
Right. You can't just plug in all the free agents and
unless
hope it all works.
Unless you're Golden State, but
that works.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing something like the athlete retreat that UFC does? They bring in former athletes that are now retired and kind of talk to the fighters about how to transition out. It's like you've transitioned out better than anyone, probably.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing something like that for the sport?
Man, I would love to help them. You know, I don't know where the UFC brass, you know, how they feel about me.
Yep.
But if they were smart about it, you know, I love the UFC, man. When the UFC does well, I do well. Like, it helps me with content. Think about it. My show is dedicated to breaking a lot of their stuff down. You know, if I'm getting 1.5 million downloads per episode on my show of breaking down their event, it's only helping them, marketing them for free. They don't pay for it. So I'm down to help them however I can. You know, I'm in New York now doing commentating and TV work for Bellator at Madison Square Garden. That's just a one-fight deal. I'm an MMA fan, so I'm just down to help out however I can. As far as the retreat, that would make sense.
Yeah.
You know, they brought in Michael Irvin. We're like, when I was there, they brought in Michael Irvin. I'm like, very cool, man. Well, you made $1,000 million. Like, you made so much money.
Yeah,
you're
you
great.
You can do whatever you want, Andrew.
You caught footballs. Yeah. And you're telling us how to organize our money. And, like, and I love the dude. He's one of my favorite people on earth. But we can't relate to that.
Right.
You played for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. This
some
year
of these
it
guys
Snoop
are
Dogg
fighting.
Snoop Dogg and Kobe.
Yes, Snoop Dogg and Kobe.
Snoop Dogg and Kobe to talk to
Snoop
UFC
Snoop Dogg
fighters.
And Kobe. Think about that. And then you got guys in there like, raise their hand. Yeah. I make $10,000 a year. Why the fuck is Kobe Bryant telling me how to manage my money?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a question. Can I have a fucking loan, Kobe Bryant? How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? What are we doing here?
Well, do you think you could provide more perspective?
Yeah, I would kill it. I would kill it.
Well, 100%. I mean,
this is the thing with those guys. I don't mean to interrupt you. Right? The issue with those guys, and anytime a fighter comes to me for advice, I go, you need to hire your own team, or you need to have your manager do it. If you can't afford it, you need to talk to your manager, because if you're banking on the UFC right now to promote you as an individual, unless your name is Conor McGregor, you're just been put to the wayside. You need to have your own publicist. If your manager's not on it, you're screwed. You should be selling your own merchandise, your own shirts off your website. If you're just banking on Reebok paying you that $3,000 or $5,000, you're making a mistake. And it's not that the UFC is screwing you over. It's that they're a business. They are a straight business, and they're getting out of you what they can. So you need to get what you can out of them.
Right.
So they
have
their
own team.
Yeah,
it's almost like you don't use them for the money. You use that platform to then make money on merch.
You
make
use
money
each
on
other.
Entertainment, to make money on what all these other avenues.
Yeah, you use each other. You know what it is. You know, it's cutthroat, man. It's a hooker, you know, John relationship.
Yeah.
You both know what the deal is. It's very black and white.
But I feel like that team is so important. Like, you need those. You can't have yes men.
It's everything.
You need someone who's going to tell you. I mean, that's what Joe Rogan did for you, right? Right, that's like the famous clip that everybody kind of points to, where it was almost like an intervention in a way on air.
Yeah, super brutal. But yeah,
I mean, it was
bad intervention.
It was uncomfortable, man. Yeah. But I mean, did you obviously you guys are boys and like it was coming from a good
super
place.
Close, yeah.
I'm sure at the time when it went down though, you were kind of like,
I was
what
super
the
hurt.
Fuck yeah,
super hurt. And you know, him and I had no idea it was happening. But Brian, I got done with that fight. And Brian goes, what's next? And I go, I don't know, man. I guess I'll cut to 205 and keep fighting. He's like, you need to stop me. I'm telling you, we can do something here. I'm like, all right. And I said, let's do a podcast about it because I want to get this out, man. Talk to the fans, see what's going on. And he goes, yeah, let's do it. And then he calls me, goes, dude, Rogan wants to do it with us. I'm like, all right, cool. And I went, but hey, man, listen, I just got done the fight. I don't want to break down the fight or anything like that. And he goes, nah, I never. He goes, I'd never let that happen to you. And then
Sam Ben, and
then
son
he goes,
of a bitch.
He goes, I got you, bro. He didn't know either. So we get there, and we go into the, you know, Rogan has like this little pool room where we hang out before and have drinks or whatever. And he's usually we're all dicking around, playing grab ass, rough house Saturdays, like just roughing around, nothing. And I go, hey, bro. And he goes, let's talk about it in there. I'm like, damn, why is he so serious? I'm like, that's weird. We sit down, and then you guys see it. And then I didn't know, man. But it happened to be the greatest thing in my life, too, because, you know, Rogan's a very black and white dude, and he wants to make sure that message is across. And what people don't realize is, you know, I think Rogan, Brian realized how harsh that was. And although it's streaming live, there wasn't a ton. There's maybe 40,000, 60,000 people listening. But Rogan goes, we don't have to put it out there, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, think that, like, he could have done that privately? Do you think that because it was on air, it would, like, hit you harder? Because I know it's coming from a good place. My thought was kind of like, you're doing this for, like, the content.
You know what I think? I think there's fighters who are less skilled than me still fighting that need to hear that.
Right.
And I'm a guy with options. So I think, I'll be fine. I can deal with that. And it's actually what really kind of gave me a huge kind of leap in what I'm doing. So my thinking behind it wasn't so much, I was embarrassed. Don't get me wrong, I was embarrassed, especially when someone's critiquing your skills.
Of course.
Especially when it's Joe Rogan critiquing your athletic ability and stuff like that, and which I still disagree on a lot of it. But that's besides the point. And I was embarrassed. But to me, I was like, there's guys that need to hear this, other athletes in other sports. And that's where I was coming from in that. So I was like, might as well release it, man. Fuck it. And then, boom.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you see it guys work out. Like Chuck Liddell is teasing a comeback now, and do you see him and you're like, dude, you're the Iceman. Like, there's so many there's so many merchandise opportunities for you. You could live the rest of your life releasing T-shirts every month, and you don't need fighting.
I know. It's heartbreaking, man. I mean, what they don't get, and there's nothing harsher on your body or your brain than fighting. So when I see guys like Chuck Liddell or Royce Gracie, Randy Couture, these guys – are so much older fighting, it breaks my heart, man. But that's the difference between them and me, and that's why those guys are world champions and they're Hall of Famers. Like, I'm not going to be on Mount Rushmore of MMA. I'm just not. Maybe a guy who transitioned out of it, maybe, but those guys are fighters through and through. I'm not, man. I never enjoyed being in there. They fucking love it. Look, Chuck Liddell's balls are down his ankles. He wants to fight.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. He couldn't pay me enough.
Yeah.
Could not pay me enough. So, You look at the new Ultimate Fighter going right now, the Redemption. Or whatever the fuck. That's heartbreaking to me. You have these guys who never really made it. We're all just average fighters. They have nothing else going on. They went back into the house, back through the hellhole to try to make it again. And they're all older. You look at Joe Daddy Stevenson. I love that dude, and he's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And he's back in there doing it. You can tell he's not the same guy, and there's all these other guys there. And then I'm thinking to myself, watching it, and I'm like, so let's say you win this show. Then what? Then you can go in there, and you're fighting real killers. You're getting thrown to the lines. Then what, man? Like, it's so short-sighted.
Right.
And it's hard as a fan to be, like, certain fighters you love growing up, and if it's baseball, maybe at the end of their career, they're hitting 240, and you're like, oh, they're not the hitter they used to be. If you're a fan of an MMA fighter, by the end of their career, you're watching them get knocked out and watching them get permanent brain damage.
Starch. Right? You're watching them get starch. Like, go have fucking Ken Griffey go batting practice right now. It's going to break your heart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, have Pete Rose try and hit a couple balls off some fucking Kershaw or something like that.
Right. But as sad as that is, when you see someone getting their brain mashed in and you know they're, like, physically being harmed, it's that much more heartbreaking.
Yes, but until you meet someone with brain trauma, you're like, damn, that's fucked up. Oh, well, he's exciting. But wait till you meet someone with actual brain trauma. Like, oh, this is what happens, man. Oh my god!
It's almost like you feel like you're contributing to it by
watching.
You're a fan. You're cheering for him so hard. He's like, I'm gonna make a comeback, and it's like, and then
That's,
yeah, but you see why they do it. Like, if you guys ever been to a Bellator UFC fight, you sit in the crowd, rip his head off, him out, say, God damn, it's Gladiator. Right. It's Gladiator days, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one's like, fight smart, earn a paycheck.
Yeah.
Entertain me, but don't hurt yourself in the process.
Win by decision.
Move your head. Take him down. Don't get hurt.
Tap out. It looks like it hurts. Tap out.
Oh, no. Move. I wish. I fucking wish.
That ain't that
Hell
way,
no. People fans, are brutal, man.
Fans, they
rip
love
his dick
shit.
Off. I'm like, that's not even a move, man.
That's not allowed, all right?
That's not. God damn it.
He'll
sport.
Get too cute. He'll lose.
Rip his fucking eye out. All right. You know what? That's not what we do. God damn it.
Yeah.
Bloodthirsty, man.
The fans are sure to be fucking electric for Connor and Floyd coming up. You said that nosebleeds are going for 12K right now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll probably triple by the time we're coming up on it.
And you can't even buy tickets, you know, as a if you're an average Joe. Nope.
You know, yeah, you can't even get in the building, right?
You have to know someone or have some sort of affiliate with an agency or the promotion. It's the biggest sport event of our lifetime, man.
Bob here said that he thinks it'll be, especially if Connor somehow pulls it off, it'll be like the biggest sporting moment ever.
I said if Connor knocks Floyd out, it'll be like the greatest sports moment of all time.
Correct. I agree 100% with him. I think no matter what happens, that it's going to be the biggest sporting event of all time. It's going to be the biggest pay-per-view. It's something people are going to look back and talk about for the rest of our lives. What I think is going to happen in the fight is Connor will lose by decision. My issue I have right now with mainstream media, and I'm going to go on a tour just destroying these guys too when
Do
I get
it.
Back to L.A.
Do it!
Is they don't understand the sport of mixed martial arts in any facet. So when they talk about it, it drives me nuts, man. This isn't as big as a lopsided as you think. It's just not, man. I've boxed for 15 years of my life at a very high level. Not nowhere near Floyd Mayweather. I didn't turn pro. I was a Golden Gloves champ. But in mixed martial arts, you gotta understand, boxing is a huge
part of
huge
it.
Part of
yeah.
it. It's one of the gigs. It's what you do, man. So Connor's been in with some high-level guys. The thing is, in mixed martial arts and in boxing, the level, the distance of striking is completely different.
Yep.
Completely. You're talking about two different worlds, the distance. There's going to be a feeling-out period. I will argue this with anyone in the world. The best boxing analyst in the world, Max Kellerman, I bet him $100,000 on this.
Yeah, I saw that.
So how long is it going to take Floyd Mayweather to figure out this new program that he's looking at? Is it going to take him one round? I doubt it. Is it going to take him two rounds, six rounds, eight rounds? He's going to figure it out. Don't get me wrong. He's not going to knock him out. He'll figure it out. Just how long is it going to take him to adjust to this weird, awkward style of Conor McGregor? I think it's probably going to take him around 4 to 5 rounds. People are going to be watching this fight, and they're going to look at their buddies and go, holy, would you give that round to Connor? Like, mm-hmm. That was fucking weird. Yeah, I think so, man. What the fuck? And then Floyd's going to start to figure him out, start to land some shots. And if Connor's going to win, the bet I would make would be in those first four rounds, he lands some crazy wild shot. Connor hits like a motherfucker, man. That left hand is from fucking heaven of Ireland. Like, that thing is a monster. If that lands, it's... Floyd's in trouble. I don't give a fuck who he is. He's in deep trouble, man. So if there's going to be a finish, it's coming from Connor's side.
Right.
I agree with that.
If Floyd wins, it's going to a decision.
Do you think, I mean, is it, you don't think it's that far-fetched for him to land a shot?
No.
I mean,
I guarantee you he lands a shot.
Again, I don't know either sport.
People
but,
who are saying that he doesn't have a shot, he won't touch him, you're crazy. You're talking crazy. You're talking about a guy in Conor McGregor who literally believes himself so much.
You see the mural he got painted?
Yes.
Yeah,
which
so
is
sick.
Dope.
So sick.
Dope. So cocky.
I mean, they had to be
so dope.
Working on that, right? Hell, I mean, that was ready pretty fucking quick.
I mean, it looked like it took a while, too. Yeah. So
and if he loses, they better have that painted over by the time
fast.
He gets back. Like,
real fast.
I don't want to see that anymore.
You know what? Just go ahead and paint that over.
Yeah.
They'll just cover Floyd. But they, you know, I think with a guy like Conor who... Think about this, man. 4 years ago was cashing welfare checks. 4 years ago. Now he's going to get paid $100 million to fight Floyd Mayweather. He's the biggest thing to ever happen in mixed martial arts, ever. He's so big, the UFC does not know how to deal with him. You will never see another one because there's ceilings in sports, right? There's levels to this game, as Meek Mill said, or fucking... Kendrick Lamar, to quote my rappers. I'm hip. I'm cool. So there's levels to this game, man. So they never thought of a Conor McGregor. Like, no guy's going to come in here and fucking take over and demand money, and he's going to fight the best of all time and fight in boxing. They're not even thinking this.
Right.
And here comes Conor McGregor. So now everyone else trying to do what he does after this, those contracts are going to tie these guys up so much because now it's been done.
For it.
They never thought of it.
Right.
And the UFC, the reason why the UFC is so damn good is they have the best lawyers in the world who think of all this stuff, but they didn't think
nobody can
of
ever
the
predict
fucking
that.
Notorious one. You can't.
Yeah. Do you think he'll ever go back to the UFC after this?
I think you're going to see Conor McGregor fight two more times in this lifetime. You're going to see him fight Floyd Mayweather, then you're going to see him fight Nate Diaz for the 155-pound belt and dip the fuck out.
You think November MSG probably?
I'd say December, that end of the year,
New
the
Year's
big
Eve
card, the New Year's Eve. He'll capitalize on that. Because, you know, like I said, I think the fight goes a decision with Floyd.
Yeah.
He'll be okay, and then he fights in December. But I think, you know, people are like, you just say that because you're not a real fighter. And why? Because I go, why would you come back? You have how much money in the bank? Why
no
would
reason.
You? Why would you fight Khabib Nurmagomedov? You guys ever heard of him? Me neither.
Yeah.
Why would you fight this fucking Russian savage?
Yeah.
And you're going to make a fraction of what you would make fighting someone else. Or why would you fight Tony Ferguson? And those are probably two of the best 155ers on the planet, not named Conor McGregor, that no one knows
Nobody
about.
Nobody cares. Yeah.
No, you don't care.
Right.
And it's such a risk for him.
The risk reward is just not there.
No, the Nate Diaz at 155 for the legit belt at 155.
The trilogy. Everyone wants to see it.
That's the fucking pay-per-view. And that will set the UFC pay-per-view record of all time. So
he
makes crazy money, and it's a good fight for him. But after you're getting him twice and he's out.
You think he has a career? Like somebody after that, or he just goes off into the sunset with his money? Because he's the most swagged out fucking charismatic dude of all time.
Yeah, he spends a lot.
He does spend a lot. He needs a money manager.
That's a misconception. He doesn't spend that much.
Well, he's got a lot of cool shit.
Pretty much.
You know what? A lot of those cars they give to him.
Yeah.
Like Rolls Royce gives him those cars to take pictures on Instagram. A lot of that stuff, the jewelry, you know, he probably pays for some of that, but the cars, because, you know, me and him were at lunch in Venice, and I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you know you're hood rich.
Yeah.
Like, you know what you're doing? You're paying for these cars. Like, those are the worst investment. He's like, no, come on. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm not an idiot. Come on.
Yeah.
I give you more credit than that.
He's a smart dude, man, because you're talking about a guy who came from nothing and he has it. No one wants to go back to broke.
No way.
It's not happening, man.
Yep.
He's... My thing with him and the reason he's so special is he's so smart, man. He's a smart, he knows exactly what he's doing. It's everything's calculated, man. And you got to respect that hustle. Everyone's like, oh, you're a Conor McGregor nut hugger. I'm not, man.
I am. I'll hand up on that one. I am.
Completely am.
Dude, I had a set at the Comedy Store, and I got to my car, and there's this group from Dublin, Ireland. And I'm like, oh, Ireland, dude, you guys must be Conor McGregor fans. They're like, dude, you are the biggest Conor nut hugger. I'm like, you guys are from Dublin. You're talking
you
shit to me
about
Conor?
The fuck.
You know, fuck you guys. Man. How about that? That's your boy. You guys are fucking ISIS.
Seriously, man.
Get out of here, man.
I'm like, without a doubt, the biggest McGregor fan ever. And I just feel like, even if he never comes back to the UFC, do one more mid-level boxing fight against somebody that you know you could beat. Do the Mayweather thing of picking an opponent you know you could beat. He'll make double what he could make in the UFC with like a shitty boxing fight. The model's just so much easier.
This is the problem with that is his contract's not going to allow him to. The UFC's not going to allow him to do another boxing fight. You'll never see him fight boxing again.
You don't think?
Never.
Isn't that covered under, like, the Ali Act?
That's not all sanctioned right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, with his contract, the only reason this Floyd deal worked out is because he worked with the UFC.
Yeah.
If he tries to go against that, they're going to tie him up in litigation so long he'll fight when his nuts are down on the ground like Chuck Liddell, like 45.
Yeah.
So they'll just tie him up in court and stuff like that. Though he was smart with working with the UFC on this. It would have got really, really ugly. Really ugly. Really fast.
Yep.
Do you think he could do something like you do? Like, do you think you guys have an entertainment career afterwards?
Oh, 100%. Because
I would listen. I mean, I would listen to him talk about
movies and
anything.
Shows
yeah.
I mean, he's doing Game of Thrones. I think.
No,
he's
not doing
out
it.
Of that, I
yeah,
think.
But it was
so,
on the table.
He wanted to train.
You know, there's
yeah,
that
so
kind of opportunity. I think.
Yeah, he's. And I know this because there's been some movie roles that came around to me, and I went, "Well, who else is going up for it?" And this big movie is Predator.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Predator, and you know, I was trying to get into Predator. It was between me, and they're like, you know, we have Connor. I'm like, oh, Connor, I'll just
see you. That's cool, man.
White boy or the fuck? All right, you know what? Fuck it. But he doesn't do it because, and this again, this is where he's very, very smart. We've seen how it works out for people. Go, oh no, I can be Vin Diesel and then be the real thing in the octagon. Rondo's like, let me try this out. Yeah, huge. Yeah. Fucking game over. Yeah. Right. And then once you lose, that entertainment career is out. Because the reason you're in entertainment, you're not Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right.
You're in that fucking movie because you're the badass who never lost. As soon as you
once
lost,
you lose,
like,
nobody cares about you.
No, yeah. No, you're in with the rest of the actors.
Right.
When is the with last the time legit you saw Rousey actors in a movie?
Yeah. No, that ended real quick.
All
yeah.
those guys, it's over. Man. Yeah. As soon as you think you're a real legit, you're like, no, I'm an artist, man. I can do both. And then you get fucking knocked out. Hollywood goes, no. The only reason you're in this movie is because people assume you're the badass. When we've seen you get starched, we cannot sell your role anymore, man.
Especially,
cutthroat, dude. It's cutthroat.
Connor might be different because Connor has such a personality. Yeah, but someone like Ronda Rousey, she was in movies, and every time she popped up, people were almost taken out. Like,
that was Ronda Rousey,
UFC fighter Ronda Rousey. Yes. I feel like a goodbye Conor McGregor is like a Peaky Blinders type.
Oh, for sure. You know? I mean, I feel like he is that already. Yeah. It's like not even acting for him, man. That
like,
guy.
I want to see him murdering people in the streets of Dublin.
I can't even imagine, like, just walking around day to day being him. Like, actually, let me ask you this, because so I've always thought, I mean, I'm a fucking out of shape, normal ass dude, right? I walk in a room, I don't have the same like presence as someone like you. Who's like, I could beat up everyone in this room.
Yeah.
Does that ever? I mean, you probably don't think that, right?
Never.
Like you've like lived that life, right? So you're never thinking like, I could beat your ass. I could beat your ass. I could
never,
beat your ass.
Never mind.
But you know you could.
You could. If shit went down, you know,
you weren't like intimidated by me when you walked in.
You know, I've never really thought about it. The only time I've ever flexed my muscle, because I'm almost super self conscious about it, where I'm like, God, I hope they don't think I'm a bully.
Really?
I hope they don't think I'm this big like asshole. So it gave me this personality where I'm actually too friendly,
overly nice.
I'm like too friendly to people, you know. And I always want everyone to like me. So the only time I've ever had to flex that muscle ever in my life was I was at Fox, and this guy was talking down. He was I'm not gonna give his name. He was this employee at Fox, and he was talking down to me, and it was before we do the podcast. He's telling me how to do the podcast. And he starts kind of like talking shit to me and degrading me a little bit. And Brian's there, and our producer's there, and this guy's there. And I go, Brian, go stand in front of the door and lock the door. And Brian goes, what? And I go, go lock the door. And he locks the door, and I went, let me tell you something real quick. You talk to me like that again, I will fuck up everybody in this room however I want. You won't make it out of here. Say one, talk to me like that one more time. Do it. And he was just dead silent.
I'm sure
and
he
Brian,
was.
And Brian was like, Brian's never seen me like that. He went, oh, my God. I went, say something, man. Say something.
See, that's what I mean.
It was just pure
silence. I could never do that. I would love to do that once.
I
just
want
one time.
I just started doing jujitsu, and I'm like, oh, man, I want cauliflower ear. So when I walk
no,
around,
you don't.
They're like, maybe that guy could fuck me up. He's
that's
tiny,
true.
But maybe
if
he's scrawny,
ear,
spider
like,
monkey.
Dude, I ain't going near that guy.
You don't fuck with a guy with cauliflower ear. I'm like, true. I want cauliflower ear.
Dude, you do not want that. It is
I think
terrible.
I do. I think it would help my brand a lot.
Your brand?
I think it would help my brand. Cauliflower ear, Bob.
Why don't you just give Bob a couple fucking shots here and make his dream come true?
Black eyes, cauliflower ear. I want to look like a guy that has been in a few
fights.
How
about this? Have you guys ever speak of cauliflower? Have you seen that show Botched?
Yes.
Like, great. I fucking love this show. So I'm a fan of the show. And I was talking about on the podcast how I watch, and I was breaking down some girl getting her titties fixed or something, or some girl with a nose job. And I actually auditioned for this show on E. It was a big deal. It was this. I went through all these auditions, and there was so much competition. I ended up getting the gig, shot the pilot, and so I'm waiting to find out if it gets greenlit. My manager called me. He goes, "Bro, heard from E." I'm like, "Yes." I'm like, "God, what? How am I gonna spend? I'm gonna get another Rolex, Rolls Royce." And then he's like, "Bro, show's not going. They decided not to go with him." I'm like, "Well, what's the good news?" He's like, "Here's the good news. Have you ever seen that show, Botched?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "The doctors are big fans, man. They want to do an episode where they fix your ears." I was all, "God damn it, bro. No.
Yeah,
I can't
thanks.
Fix. I'd lose all street cred with all my friends.
I earned these fucking ears,
man,
all right?
I can't fix my ears. That's the good news."
Yeah, he thought
that's
it was a
terrible
compliment.
News. That's terrible. I was so
do you
sad.
Know anything about me, man?
Like, damn,
you
man.
Know, I got something like that yesterday.
I'd get a nose job, though.
People were saying something about... "Oh, Barstool, I don't like them. They're all bros." And somebody said, "No, if you've ever seen Robbie Fox, you would know." And I was like, "That's not a compliment,
yeah,
man." You're like, "Look at this fucking nerd. They're not bros."
"He's not a bro. Look at that nerd, man."
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys.
Nerd has a badge of honor, man. Yeah.
No, nerds
honor.
Run the world, man. We I had
run this shit.
They
don't
do.
You forget it.
I had Judd Apatow on the Fire and the Kid, and I was talking to him. I was like, dude, nerd, you guys run fucking Hollywood. Like, the bully's not getting anywhere in this town because nerds run everything.
There's a reason why that nerd was able to talk down for a minute. He, he got put in his place real quick.
Dude.
But he was coming from a place where he's like, I can fucking tell this guy what to
do. You know, he's a bigger guy. I'm a big dude, too. Former athlete.
Not
and I was like,
enough.
Oh, my God, what is going on right now? It's very rare that switch comes out, man. Talking about Aurora Brown.
Yeah,
I'm from Aurora. It's a little bit of hood in Aurora, man.
But the fact that you can throw the switch.
Yeah,
I can't even throw it if I want to.
I would love to have that switch.
That's where guns come into play.
It's like a grass screener sort of thing. Like, you have it and you don't want to use it, and I totally understand why. But as someone who's just, like, always been in a completely average walk of life, I would like to walk into – you've never been at a bar and, like, someone's mouthing off, and you're just like, if I wanted to, I could kill that guy.
Never.
What the
fuck?
I would do that all the time.
You'd be a bully?
If I were you, I'd get in a bar fight every single night.
we would go to the bar
just to beat people up.
We were at a bar the other night. They're doing trivia, and I yelled out one of the answers, and the guy doing trivia goes, don't yell out the answers, you fucking asshole. And I was like, I'm ready to go. I want to fucking fight this guy.
Hey, bro, I've had 2 jiu-jitsu classes.
Yeah. I was like, I'm a white belt.
You
are you?
This.
Do you even have a belt?
No, you don't? I'd shut the fuck up then.
Yeah, then I'm a higher rank than you.
You know what, though? I had I just got back from doing a tour in Australia, and there's this guy. I do, VIP meet and greets before the show, just in Australia. Usually they're after. I did it before, and there's this group of guys, and this guy there is, he's getting drunk, man, and he's grabbing me. He's this big, wrestling me around. I'm like, you got to quit touching me, brother. You got to quit touching me. And I go, dude, you know, so you have an hour before the doors open, and then I go on stage, and it's a two-hour show, man, so you got a long night. Let's pace yourself, man. And he's like, ah, you're crazy, man. That's why I love you. I'm like, all right, very cool. You got to quit touching me, brother. And I'm like, I quit drinking, man. You got a long night. Just chill. And he goes, oh, no, I've done this before. Last time I was here with Tony Hinchcliffe, who's my boy, comedian, hilarious. And he does all the writing for The Roast, straight savage. And he's actually going on tour. Look him up. But he goes, no, last time I was here, I saw Tony, man. I know how this thing goes. And he goes, I love Tony Hinchcliffe. I'm like, cool, man. Fast forward to the show. Halfway through my act, this homeboy will not stop heckling me. Just yelling just random shit.
Like, not even funny, right?
No,
yeah.
Fuck, right. People are like, shut up. Yeah. Sit down. And usually I never address hecklers. I've never really had one, man. No one really fucks with me.
Wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going through my act, and I have this bit of this part about Jesus. And he stands up and goes, bare in his hand, goes, fuck Jesus. And finally I go, what? Hold on. Turn on the house lights a little bit for me. And I'm like, bro, you got to sit down. You got to shut the fuck up. You have got to stop. And I said, listen, bro, listen. I'm not your average comedian. I'm not Tony Hinchcliffe. I will walk down there. I will take this fat brown hand and crash it into your fucking face in front of everybody. You got to stop. And the whole crowd just goes, yeah. He didn't say a word the rest of the thing. I'm like, you gotta stop, man. What are you doing? I didn't know
power.
How to deal with the heckler.
Power,
man.
Dude. I love it.
I guess, man. Until Cain Velasquez, the guy heckled me. I'm like,
bro,
I'm
99.9%. You're good.
Yeah. I'm like, you gotta sit the fuck down. I will take. Is that Cain Velasquez? You can keep going.
Carry
bro.
On.
Keep going, bro.
Mic. Here you go. Come on.
Is that
stage.
Travis Brown? Keep doing your thing, brother. Keep doing your thing, man. Hilarious. Hey, give it up for Travis Brown, everybody. Give it up for Travis Brown.
Let me ask you this. So I think I know the answer, but anybody who has kind of like a dual career sort of life, I like to ask this. If you had your pick between, you know, winning a belt of your choice or a pay-per-view sort of McGregor type of event, or let's say, you know, selling out an arena comedian style, like special DVDs, the money, the whole nine.
Yep.
I mean, I think I know my answer, but.
Yeah. The comedian thing, that there's nothing freaking like it, because you got to realize is, you know, fighting is something
Wait. You're saying the comedian thing?
By far.
Oh, wow. I thought the opposite.
Oh, really?
I thought my
other comedian thing, yeah.
Really?
Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh, wow. I thought you definitely
Yeah, no, I thought you you wanted, I thought you would want, like, the MMA glory at the top of the cast.
No,
top
man.
Of the
no,
wow,
because that's not a mystery to me. Like, I know, like, that's not going to fill any void that I have. Like, I've won big fights, and I get done after. I feel exactly the same. I still have some brain trauma. You know, my body still aches. Like, that's not a mystery to me. Like, I know exactly what it takes to get there. And it's also not that creative. It's tough, and, you know, very few people ever get there. But in comedy, you got to realize, man, to make people laugh and to use your creativity and come up with an hour or 2 hours long of
no joke.
Material is such a beast, and it's so fucking challenging. especially for a guy like me, where my heroes were Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler. Like, I have a show, Chit, tonight, Gotham Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. I get you tickets.
Thank you. Appreciate
and
it.
So, hashtag sold out. And so for me to pull off stuff like that, it's the ultimate high, man. And I can do that till I'm 80 years old. And it's just, like, it's love that you've never seen before, man. Because, you know, I go to Australia, I'm selling out theaters, back-to-back night, theater, selling out all these theaters, man. I go to the Comedy Store, it's sold out. I go, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. And I've never not had a show that I've done myself not sell out. So that's direct love, because you do a UFC event. Let's say my last fight on UFC, whatever, is 183 at MGM Grand. There's some Brendan Schaub fans, no doubt. But they're there to see whoever. They're there to see the majority. There's Anthony Pettis was on the card. There's freaking Johnny Hendricks, Robbie Lawler. Like, they're there to see the UFC, not me, man.
Right.
So there's no love.
When
and then
it's
when you
just
lose,
you on that stage.
Yeah,
man.
Then when you lose, like, you suck, man. And then they move on. But in comedy, it's not like that, man. The love is so real, and I've always been looking for that. This is straight up my calling, man. Like,
you're good at it,
I love it, man.
You're very good
I
at it.
I love it.
However you ended up there, whatever path took you, I think everybody's happy you did because
you're
very
man.
Good at it.
Just getting punched in the face did it.
Yeah, just you had to just take like 1,000 shots to the head, and then you ended up there.
Just
you know,
like 25,000 shots.
Yep.
How about I met with a doctor and he's like, yeah, probably we estimate with your camps and then with football because you played football for 15 years, thinking about between 25,000 to 50,000 hits to the head. Oh, very cool, man. That's cool, bro.
Thanks for that, Doc. Yeah, very cool.
Thanks, man. Thanks,
put
bro.
That on the resume. Yeah, Twitter bio. I've been hitting the head 50,000 times.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Thank you for your work, man. I appreciate it.
Making sure it's not 50,001.
Thanks for nothing. And also, those numbers, let's not bullshit each other. You kind of bullshit those
numbers.
Right?
That's a big range there. Took him
he's like, no, just on average, how many times you get hit to the head? And then I think about it. I'm like, God, he's kind of right, man. Football's brutal. And I wake up on my Instagram, that quote by Warren Sapp. No one wants to admit they can't find their way home. Like, this motherfucker can't find his way home? I know. I got lost in New York. I'm just saying, Warren Sapp can't drive home?
That's a problem.
Yeah!
That ain't good. It's a long way to
problem.
Go, man. It's a long way to live out afterwards. So.
Yeah, it's heavy lies the crown. You know, you got to realize, is the juice worth the squeeze with those things?
Right,
I would assume it is.
Tonight sold out. What's the next... place people can get tickets to?
I'm in Phoenix on the 20th, July 20th, and then I think they're announcing dates probably by Friday or next week at the very latest, but I'm going Salt Lake City. I know Denver's in there, and Milwaukee, Chicago, Toronto.
You're all over, bro.
They're lining it up, man, because it's kind of a cool show because I do my stand-up for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then I do a breakdown of kind of improv of the headlines of MMA, and then I'll break down Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather.
Nice.
And I get balls deep in it. So it's basically the Conor Floyd tour. That's what's going on here.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
BrendanSchaub.com or where can
TFATK.com and then on Instagram, Twitter's just at Brendan Schaub.
Awesome. Go follow him. Go get tickets. He's a funny guy. And
it's about time we've done this, man.
I know.
It's been a long time, bro. I love you guys,
anytime
man.
Anytime you're in New York,
it.
Open invite.
Let's
so
do it,
whenever
man.
You want, come by.
Let's do it. You guys are killing it.
Thanks, bro.